So I have in my notes here, I said thoughts to consider, and this is going to get heavy real quick, but if you just stay with me, this will be pretty awesome. I got here, it says, many say that if we were alive when Jesus was around, we would have believed and we wouldn't have been like the disciples. Oh, we would have never doubted Jesus. We'd have been the first one out of the boat. We would have always believed Jesus the first time he told us. He said, they're going to destroy this temple in 3 days, raise it up. He told them over and over again the plan. But how many of you know, just like them, we kind of miss out on the plan. He tells us, but we don't catch up with it. Would I have been far worse than the disciples? Would I have outdone doubting Thomas? Denying more than Peter. Being afraid to get out of the boat, but criticizing Peter for trying to get out of the boat. How many of that sounds just like us today? I know that's me. I say, oh Lord, if you would have been here, Lord, if I would have been there during your time, I would have believed the miracles. I would have fought for you. I would have been, no, I wouldn't have. I would have been Judas. Whoa, that's right. Would I have been Judas? I don't know. I'm challenging you today. I was the person wanting to stone the woman caught in adultery, even though my heart was full of lust. Now, I'm preaching real stuff today because you know what? We like to tell everybody else what's wrong with them, but we don't want to address the own sin in our own life. And I'm telling you what, that's when we become real Christians because we're denying our flesh and we're saying, God, we know that we don't have it all together and we're not going to judge our brother. Maybe there's a woman who you know is in adultery. Maybe you're in this house today and you're living in adultery. I don't judge you. I love you. Because you know what Jesus did? I think when he got down in the sand, the story says that they brought, you know, the religious people, church folk, brought them to Jesus and said, you need to stone her according to the law of Moses. I wonder if Jesus was writing their names in the sand of all the women and all, maybe even the men that they've committed adultery with. And that's why they all dropped the stones and they said, hey, well, he's got us here. So I'm telling you, we can't judge others. Would I have slept all night when Jesus said, will you watch him pray with me in his very hour of need? What I have slept through. How many times have God woke us up in the middle of the night and asked us to pray, but we just keep on sleeping? Or somebody calls and say, brother, will you pray with me? I need you here. Can you help me? Oh, I'm too busy. We say we would have been somebody else if Jesus was here, but we do the same things that the disciples did. I am guilty as charged. Am I the one that flogged Jesus with the cat of nine tails, beat him and say, oh, Jesus, I would never touch you. But every time I choose to sin and every time that I choose to obey my flesh over the word of the Lord, I'm no different than the Roman soldier that flogged him 39 times. That's real. We say we love Jesus, but do we love him? I was the one that slammed the crown of thorns on his head. A lot of people think it was just this nice little single crown. I just watched a interview where they actually made a mock one up. And what it was, it's actually a helmet. And it had actually these huge thorns. It was ridiculous. And it's basically like a full-blown helmet that they put on Jesus. And Jesus didn't have a nice little loincloth on. He was completely naked. He was completely stripped of basically his identity as a man. He was beat so bad. And I'm no different than the people that did that to him. Because when I sin, I'm partaking in what they did. I'm no different than the men who nailed the deep, big nails in his hands. I was the one that chose a criminal over Jesus. I said, crucify him. Every time I make choices in my life that I put my flesh and I put the things of this world before Christ, I'm no different than the people that said, crucify, crucify. Trust me when I say this, people around you, they will abandon you. The same people that hailed him the Messiah 3 days earlier, Hosanna in the highest who comes in the name of the Lord. 3 days later, they were saying, crucify them. So my statement for you is, don't seek horizontal affirmation because the real affirmation comes from God. Don't care. Who cares what people say about you? The same people that hailed him the Messiah were saying, crucify him and abandon him in his very hour of need. I was talking to Chris about this week. You know, the disciples and those around him had a unique opportunity that we will never have. They were able to pray for Jesus. Why do I need to pray for Jesus now? I don't. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's God. He's been exalted to the highest seat in heaven next to the Father. But the disciples and those around him had the unique opportunity to pray for the Master when he was here because he walked in a human body. They could pray. Jesus literally gave them the invitation. Pray with me. Pray for me. It said he prayed. So it's actually a medical condition what happened to him in the Garden of the Gethsemane when he prayed so hard. The blood, he was under such intense pressure that he was sweating blood. And I think he said he even fainted. But in his hour of need, where was his people? My question for you today is, in our friends that are sitting next to us, where are you at in their hour of need? Missy Massey needs a miracle. Are you willing to pray and fast and give up a meal for her? You say, Luke, what does fasting mean? I'll tell you what fasting does. It's like putting a supercharger on your spirituality. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I know this, when my master, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked on this earth, it said the first thing he did before he started his ministry, he pulled away and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. When he came out of the wilderness, he came out in the power of the Spirit. You read in the Gospels, it says, and immediately he began doing the will of the Father, and the power of God was manifested in this world. So I'm telling you, Missy Massey needs a miracle. Miranda Goslinger needs a miracle. Miranda Owens needs a miracle. Tammy Lindsay, Nora Grace. Are we willing to fight and stand up, or are we going to abandon our post just like the disciples did in Jesus' hour of need? Would I have stabbed him in the side? No, I'd have probably stabbed him in his back just like I do every day. Because I wake up every day and say, oh, Jesus, I love you. But then I walk around, I gossip, I sin, I don't treat people right, I don't act according to the word of God, and I abandon what he has said. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Now, with this church, we are all about uplifting and being honoring and encouraging the brother. But I love you, that's why I'm speaking this. That's why God is speaking this today. Because if you walk out here living the same way you did when you came in, what's the point of even coming to church? I mean, we walk in like one of those things, those big buildings. You go in, you just come right back. Those doors that go, those roundabouts. That's all you're doing. You're just sitting in an unending loop. I want God, the Spirit of the living God, wants you to leave here changed so you can go out and make an impact in the world. The people that have been forgotten and abandoned in your life, there's family members in your life that don't know God. They see you and I am a poor representation of Christ in my world at times. Jesus was the real deal. He was 24/7. He walked it. He lived it. I mean, he just didn't run his mouth. He actually said, nobody takes my life from me. I freely lay it down. Take that one to the bank. Nobody took his life. He chose that path for us. And every time I sin, every time I choose to exalt myself, my agenda, my will, my emotions over his plan, I'm saying, Lord, I'm denying what you did on the cross. And I'm telling you, God has a plan for us. I would have been the one that denied that he rose from the dead. Remember the ladies, Mary and Martha, come and said, hey, he's risen. And they said, lady, you're crazy. Bless you. He said, you're crazy. He's not risen from the dead. But even he told them over and over and over, like I said, or destroy this temple in 3 days, the Son of Man will be lifted up. How many times does God speak to us every day and we do not listen? I'm telling you, these are just some thoughts to consider. Many of us have voluntarily surrendered ourselves to captivity and bondage. You say, wow, what does that mean? It means this, that we are no different than Samson. Samson had a problem with lust. We all know that. He had a taste for Philistine women. He liked that. He had that problem. And what did he do? He continually said, oh, he abused the mercy and the grace of God. Oh, it's no different. I can sin again and just shake it off. Remember, the Philistines would come, would bind him up, and he'd just shake it off, and he'd break the chains or the cord they put on him to arrest him. He'd just break it off, and the Spirit of God was on him. But the saddest part of Samson's life was that he did not know the Spirit of God had departed from him. He continued to live in sin, to go into adultery and fornication. And what did he do? He did not know the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And the day they finally come and got him, he went to break the chains and they couldn't break. They had shaved his head. And obviously we know it wasn't the hair that gave his power, it was the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm encouraging you, are you at a place in your life today that you don't even know the Spirit of God has departed from you? That is a very scary place. David said, "Holy, or Father, or God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And I'm telling you, in this world, there's a lot of going on. If you think President Trump's your savior, you think Joe Biden, all these people, you are badly mistaken. I'm telling you what, the political winds can change in this country, and we could be persecuted like people in the Middle East, losing their lives. There are people in Syria, and I believe in Africa today, that are losing their lives for the sake of the gospel. But we come to church on our nice seats and give our tithe and go back to our life and go to the standard life that we think in America that we are deserved and owed. No, you are owed nothing. And I'm telling you what, there are a lot of people in this world that live a lot harder lives than we do, and we need to be very thankful for what God has given us here in America. I'm telling you what, there could be an evil, corrupt president rise up and to say, hey, Christianity is out, and if you speak up for the sake of the gospel, you can be in prison, you can be beaten, you can even lose your life. And these are things that we don't talk about in America because we're so used to, oh, hey, man, we'll just punch the time clock. We'll go to church. This is great. No. There's a time coming It could very well be your life if you deny Christ or accept Christ or profess Christ. Or if you deny him, you can make it. But you know, for me, I don't care. What did the Hebrew children say? Let it be known to you, O King, that even if our God doesn't deliver us, we will not bow to your image. There was a false idol. They said, hey, if you don't bow down, we're going to put you in the fire. You're going to get cooked. But how many know that God had a plan? Because remember what the Nebuchadnezzar said? He said, I see this, the resemblance of a man as a God. And we know Jesus came down. And that's what God will do in our life when we step up, when we have real faith. Are we compromising our faith and surrendering our authority over to the enemy? Are we nursing pet sins that are opening the door for the enemy to access to our families, to our church, and to any other areas of our life? None of us in here would let anything happen to children in our lives. They're our weakest among us. Even the Bible talks about protecting little ones. But how many of us open the door what we watch, what we say, our mannerisms, what we're doing? I want to know how spiritual you are. I'll just ask your kids. I heard a guy say the other day, he said, you know what? He said, if I want to find out if I trust someone, I ask my three-year-old daughter and I ask my dog, because if they don't like them, then I don't like them. And I'm just saying, that's a pretty good analogy, because your dog, they can pick up on some nonsense, and your three-year-old, they will definitely tell you the truth, I'm telling you, or their version of it, right? So I'm just saying, if there's things in your life, if there's baggage, whether it could be addictions, I'm not saying you're going to hell if you smoke or you chew or you do these things. I'm not judging, but I'm telling you what, there are addictions and there are pet sins in our life that are inhibiting and holding us back from going to the other side where God is wanting us to go. There is miracles, signs, and wonders in your life. There is things that God wants to do in your life, but we are bound up. We are so in a self-imposed prison because we choose sin over the word of God. And the idea that you can live however you want and still be a Christian is a lie. I tell you the truth, it's a lie. You don't hear this in church. There is a hell, and if you do not obey the commandments of God and accept Christ, you will go there and you will spend eternity. That is not very popular in the church today, but it is the truth. If you accept Christ and repent of your sins, you have an assurance of salvation and an eternity with a heavenly Father and a mansion he has prepared for you. But I tell you this, if you choose to go your own way, if you just come to church and you say, oh, well, I'm saved, whatever, but then you live like the devil all week, yes, I'm questioning your salvation, because you know what? The Lord of God, of the universe says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew, and you say, okay, Luke, I don't know, I believe in once saved, always saved. I made a prayer 35 years ago, and I live like the devil every day, but Jesus, his grace is sufficient. Yes, his grace is sufficient, but you know what? There's also called the abuse of his mercy and grace. And I also tell you this, that God will never abandon you, but there's plenty that have abandoned him, right? So Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Now, how could they prophesy if they never knew him? Come on now. And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And I, this is Jesus, this is in red, then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So the idea that you can just do whatever you want every day, live your agenda, never submit to the word of God, you sin, you live like you, there's no delineation between you and the world, I question if you're a Christian or not, because according to the word of God. And when I stand before him, I would rather come, Dave, with one leg maimed and blind and make it in than to be healthy and be rich and then go to hell. Because I'm telling you what, there's a lot of people, there's stories in the Bible about the rich and the wealthy, and there's nothing wrong with wealth, there's nothing wrong with blessing. But if the devil owns you and you profess and you come to church and act like you're a Christian, you're just playing games. There's sheep in wolves' clothing. I'm telling you right now, we've got to wake up, because you know what? The devil, he don't play. He's coming to destroy you. He wants your kids. He wants your kids to die. He wants your kids to be so caught up with social media, drugs, entertainment, media, all this stuff, and they be robbed and lose. You know, I've got a niece and nephew, Austin and Abby, if you're watching, I love you, but you're not living right, and you know you're not. You know you're not, and they're not into where they need to be, and they were raised in church. How many of us have children in here, kids that aren't living the way they should be, a family member living maybe in homosexuality or an adulterous relationship or these things? We're not judging them. We love them, because you know what? God is clear in his word. Hey, why don't you clean your own house before you start dealing with other people? And you'll find the more you take care of the sin in your life, the less you have time to look at other people's sin. You have more love and humility and compassion for other people. Yes. I don't get a lot of amens on this today, but that's okay, because you know what, or maybe I just can't hear you, but I tell you this, I would rather stand before God and say, Luke, you told them the truth. You didn't come up here and say, if you do this, I'll give you a miracle blessing and I'll do this and you'll have barns full and I'll bless you. But yes, that is powerful. That is true. God will bless you. Our barns will be full. We'll have abundance. Yes, if you obey the word of the Lord, he will bless you. But you know what? I would rather be broke, maimed, blind, abandoned, and forgotten, but enter the kingdom of heaven because I chose to believe the word of the Lord. And that's not a popular message. All you hear today, you turn on Christian TV and it's about bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. This is what I want. Yes, blessings are great. And you know what? The more you give me, the more I'll put out. Don't get me wrong. I'm a very blessed man. I've been broke. I've been in poverty. It's overrated. Trust me. It's totally overrated. I would rather have the ability to bless others who are in need. But I'm telling you, I don't seek wealth. I seek the master. I take care of his house. He takes care of my house. I'm telling you, God is true. So let's move on a little bit here. So in the Bible, there's two Adams. Yeah, that's right. There's two Adams. There's the first Adam. We all know Adam, right? He was the first created human on earth. He was made from the dust. So let's turn to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis 1:28. Genesis 1:28. We'll start there if I can find it. Okay. Okay, Genesis 1:28. It says, God bless them. This is talking about man and female. There's only two genders. Yes, I'm saying that on TV. According to the word of God, there's male and female. Anything else is a lie. And the devil is the father of lies, right? Come on now. We serve the Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And God's word is truth. And it says that God created man and female. And anything else is a lie. It said, God bless them. This is talking about Adam and Eve. And said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Basically, hey, you're in charge. Keep account. You're in charge of the earth. And rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has yielding fruit, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, to everything moves on the earth which has life, I have given you green plants for food. So basically, God said, hey, Adam, you're the man. I'm giving you all authority on earth. Over everything, over every beast, over every plant. I'm even going to ask you to name them and subdue it. That means, hey, keep track of it, be in charge. So the same thing God charges every leader in the home, every man, maybe your mama, you don't have a husband. You need to be in charge of your family and subdue the enemy when he comes in. Don't give place to the devil. Jesus said, watch and pray. What does it mean? No, not just watch and know, to be vigilant, to know what's going on, to observe the signs of the time, to understand, to protect your family, to watch and pray as the Lord asked his disciples. So did not God say in his word that Adam and Eve was over every beast of the earth? Okay, so let's move down to let's go to Genesis 3. And it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast. Now, wait a minute. What did God just say two chapters before? Did he not say, Adam and Eve, you're over every beast of the earth? So what I'm telling you is that I just saw, it's like, wow, we all knew that Satan came. And of course, he deceived Eve. And you know the story, the fall of man, all this. But what's important to note is that Satan wrapped himself in the form of a beast. So really, would the first breaking of the commandments not necessarily be eating of the apple? It's just that Adam denied what God had already told him. He said, you don't even give place to the enemy. He says that in the word. So basically, when Satan came in the form of a serpent to Adam, or to Eve, I should say, she knew better because God had given them authority over the fowls of the air and the beasts of the earth. She should have subdued it, put it down. But what did she do? Like many of us, I'm not here. I'm not an Eve hater here. I'm not an Adam hater because I'm just right there with them. I ate of the apple and I denied God. I denied Jesus every day in my life. When I sin, you're denying Jesus. You're driving the nails. So yes, they had the word of God given to them to say, hey, you need to put this down. And just like us every day, just like them every day, we deny the word of God in our lives. God has spoken to say, hey, don't do this, don't do this. And what do? We partake of sin. Of course, we know that Adam could have not listened to Eve. He caved into pressure. Or maybe it wasn't pressure. Maybe there was a level of trust. Let's not beat on Eve or Adam here. There was a level of trust. Maybe he trusted his wife. So what that tells me is we need to be careful who we trust in our lives. There's people saying, hey, do this. why don't we make sure that in the same way that we vet people that, like, say, for example, if you want your kid to go over to somebody's house, you want to vet them out, right? You want to make sure they're not clowns or going to hurt your kid. How about we vet our relationships to make sure that they're on the potentially on the same spiritual level? Or maybe if you're around people that are bringing you down, maybe you shouldn't be around them. I've heard it like this. As long as you're affecting them, that's good. But if they're starting to infect you, maybe you need to step back. We need to vet our relationships in our life, because I'm telling you, not everything that's offered to you is the will of God, or thus says the Lord. In the, one of the scriptures says, beware of false prophets. Beware of people that come in, they're in sheep's clothing and they talk all the lingo, but really they're out to destroy you and your families. I'm being serious. So it's up to you. So God had given Adam authority over all the beasts. The enemy came in the form of a serpent. We know this. And then, of course, Adam succumbed to sin, and then sin entered the earth. An interesting note that something that I picked up, I heard a preacher say, or someone say the other day, that when God, due to the sin, when the earth was cursed, it talks about that the earth will about thorns and thistles. And it's interesting, the very thing, the resemblance of that curse was put upon Jesus. Because the word of God says, cursed is any man that hangs on a tree. So it's interesting, the very sin that Adam and Eve commit, God already knew that he would have to come down in the form of a man and die. And that's a whole other story. But I will tell you this, that the Lord came down because God is a spirit. How could he be crucified? How could a spirit be crucified on a tree? Think about it. It's impossible. So that's why he reduced himself to a man. And when Jesus walked on this earth, he was no different than us. The only difference is his Father was God in heaven. That's a big difference, obviously. But he walked sinless, and did it. He did it, everything. And I told this the other day. I told some of this. I spoke of this one. That Jesus made mistakes. You're like, oh, how dare you say the Son of God had mistakes? As a child, I guarantee you Jesus made mistakes, but he never sinned. There's a difference between making a mistake. This is what people just say. I cheated on my wife. It was a mistake. No, that's called sin. We're going to call it what it is. A mistake is, Roth, you grabbed Teresa's keys when you were going out the door instead of yours. That's a mistake. See, we've watered the word of God down. And what we're doing is we're preaching this gospel that wide is the way that leads to Jesus. That is wrong. Narrow is the way, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. I'm telling you, this may be tough teaching for you, but I would rather you be right and enter the kingdom and say, Luke, thank you for telling me that I need to quit playing games in my personal life when no one's around and I'm on my computer and on my cell phone, or I'm on watching videos and doing these things, because I answer to God and not to you. And I'm telling you, the Lord is coming, and are you ready? It says he comes as a thief in the night. So we talk about this. So Adam was given, Adam and Eve was given this authority, and obviously they sinned, and then of course the plan kicked in action. Remember, God said his word, from the Lamb of God was slain from the foundations of the world. God knew when he would have to pay a heavy price for his creation. Would you have done it? Would you be willing to come down and die for someone knowing that you had the opportunity not to create them? I don't have to create man. I don't have to create all this mess, all the drama that's in the world. Well, he didn't create the drama. We did. But I know I will have to strip myself of all my heavenly authority and come down in the form of a man. And not only did he descend once, but descend twice. Because remember, he descended to earth, lived the life, then he gave up his life, and then he descended into the heart of the earth. And it's, you know, to go in and get the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He paid a heavy price for what he did for us. I don't know why he did it. Sometimes I always say that he created the very tree that he would hang on. He grew the seed, or he spoke the seed into existence of the straw that would hold him when he was in a manger. But yet he saw you and he loved you and he said, you are worth it. So don't ever let the enemy lie to you and say you're not valuable. No matter what your situation is here today, maybe you don't have money, maybe you're poor, rich, or maybe you're abandoned. You've been married 5 times and the one you're with, you're not living with or married to. I don't care. But God loves you and has a plan for your life. And you are valuable and you have purpose. But you have to check into what God's doing. So let's go to Luke 4. Let's switch over. So Adam gave up his authority. Well, who do you think picked up that authority? And this is my belief, according to the word of God. Luke 4:1-6, it says, we're just going to read here. It says, we're talking about Jesus. He's in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. For 40 days being tempted by the devil, he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry, obviously. And the devil said to him, and that's interesting. I'm going to pause right there. You notice the enemy never comes when things are going good at things. It's sometimes when we're at our lowest point that the enemy comes in and just tries to break off that knife in you. It can be when you feel like you've lost all hope. But I'm telling you what, the Lord has already made a plan. We got to remember his word. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus said, what did he do? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He knew the word of God and he spoke it. And then he led him up to the top of, and he led them, showed them all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So the devil obviously had power. He could show things. And the devil said to him, I will give you this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me. Where do you think he got that authority? Where do you think he got it? I believe, this is my belief, according to the word of God, maybe I'm wrong, forgive me, Lord, if I'm wrong, that when Adam and Eve sinned, the authority that God gave them, he said, subdue it. That was then passed the devil. The devil became the god of this world, the prince of this world. The Bible says that. He's a false god, but he has authority on this earth because the authority that was given to Adam, we fell and we handed that over to the enemy. And that's where the first Adam fell, because the way sin entered the world and death entered into this planet was through the first Adam. Okay. And we're going to get to the second Adam. He's a lot better. Jesus, and I said this on Wednesday night, but I just got to say this again. This is power. Jesus defeated the enemy hungry, alone, and in the middle of a desert. While Adam suffered defeat in paradise with everything he could ever want or need. So don't think that people who are wealthy and have this perceived social media amazing life that they are where they need to be with God. Jesus was abandoned. Of course God was with him in the desert. But just think about it, hungry. How many? 40 days. And it wasn't like our fast day where we have all the amenities, everything. We can do special drinks. So I guarantee Jesus probably was very limited water, very limited. But the fact that he himself was tempted, a lot of times we get tempted, oh, the devil's after me. Yeah, don't glorify yourself. It's probably just the devil. Or a lot of it's probably your fault. You're probably your own flesh. We blame a lot of stuff on the devil that's just our own stupidity, right? But in this case, Satan himself, he broke all the big guns out because he thought, I can actually touch the Son of God now. See, that's the thing that allows us to be saved. Because when God came down in the form of a man, he reduced himself to a man. You say, Luke, God reduced himself? Yes. He stripped himself of all of his authority. He allowed the devil to touch him, to be touched. He was allowed to bleed. How can God bleed? He's a spirit. But I've heard it said like this, God borrowed the womb of Mary and entered this world in the form of a man so he could come and give us life. And he allowed himself to take on all the sin of the world, to bear the weight. Every time you turn your back on him on the cross, he took it. Yeah. We sin like it's, like a lot of people use the lottery. Like we just think, we're going to hit it big. Who cares if we sin against Jesus? We're going to hit it big. Or it's just like a slot machine. We just keep going. We sin. Oh, the mercy and grace of God. But the price he paid, the price that he himself wrapped himself in the form of a man and came down here, abandoned all his heavenly authority. But God sent his spirit, the same spirit that raised him from the dead, the same spirit that is here today that is in us. That's the spirit that Jesus operated. Jesus didn't operate under some special Holy Spirit or some other. No, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same authority that said, destroy this temple and I'll raise myself up in 3 days. That same authority is in you. Why do you think the enemy wants you so distracted with social media, with TV, with sports, with, ooh, the NBA Finals, ooh, the Stanley Cup Finals, all these things, oh, the president. And it's amazing today when I talk to people, it says, like, they always associate goodness and badness with political. Oh, we got Trump, or oh, we got Biden, they're bad with. And we step back and think, folks, you're missing the whole point. Good and bad is in the spiritual realm. No matter who's up there, whether it be whoever you vote for, whatever. But I'm telling you, if you define your morality in politics, you have a very, very warped sense of morality. Your morality should be based upon the word of God and the truth of God's word. So Jesus was victorious. He came down. He defeated the enemy. He allowed himself to be touched. He allowed himself to be abandoned by the Father. Because when he took upon the sin of the world, your sins that you do, every sin that was ever committed from Adam, it will be before the last trumpet sounds, Jesus died for. Every sin. Every time you think you got away with it, you're playing games or you're saying, oh, God will forgive me his mercy and grace. He saw that and he knew that when he gave up his life for you, that it would be paid for. What did he say? Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And I sometimes I don't know what I do because I do some stupid stuff. And I'm sure you do some stupid stuff in your life. That's right, I said that. So let's switch to Romans. So we've talked about the first Adam who came and death entered the world. So let's go to Romans 5. Now, this is a little long passage here, but I'm going to get through this. This is a, when I was reading this, I was like, ooh, this is good stuff. It's the Word of God. All right, so Romans 5, verses 12 through 21. It says here, therefore, just through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because of all sin. Yeah, I want to say thanks, Adam and Eve, but you know what? I really need to say thanks, Luke Hale, because you sin every day just like they did. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam. So even if you think you've never sinned, you're still doomed because you were born into sin. Who is a type of him who was to come? But the free gift, and this is the free gift, it's not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of the one many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. If that doesn't make you excited, I tell you what it does, because he did not have to do this. He didn't have to do it. He could have called all the angels. What did it say? Legions, thousands of angels he could have called, and the face of the earth would have been obliterated. But he saw you in your weakest point and said, I choose them over my will. Not my will, Father, but yours. He saw you when you were abandoned and forgotten, when those around you didn't love you and your family rejected you maybe for something you did. He saw you and loved you and said, Father, they're worth the price. So I encourage you today, never abuse the mercy and grace of God, because I tell you what, there will be one day that the mercy and grace of God will be pulled out of the earth. And people think the earth is crazy now. Wait till God's goodness is pulled out of the earth, the Holy Spirit. It's going to be madness, because I'm telling you what, even the heathens out there, God is still good to them. It rains on the just and the unjust. So what that's saying is that God is even good to the heathen, even though they don't know him. Even though they shake their fists at him and they worship themselves and their pleasures of this life, he still loves them. Because you know what? They're his. He created them. They're his creation. And I don't know any parent in this place that even if they've got a kid that is way out there or even spits in their face, that they don't love them and have a heart for them, just as our Father does. So where we at? Okay, this gift is not like which came through the one who sinned. On the one hand, the judgment arose from the transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of one death reigned, through the one much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one Jesus Christ. Amen. So then as though one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. Thank you, Jesus. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so the obedience of the one, in capital, the many will be made righteous. The law came so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think Paul made it very clear. He said over and over, just in the same way Adam and Eve screwed up and death entered the world, life entered through Jesus Christ. And that right there is spirit in his life. I don't care where you're at. I don't care today if you're broke, if you're abandoned, you're forgotten, you have mental issues, you're sick, you're afflicted, there is good news for you today that Jesus loves you and that he can heal you and will deliver you. And you think, yeah, that's easy, Luke. You're saying that from a microphone. You got things all together. I'm telling you what, I struggle with things every day. But I know this, that there's no relationship, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no thought that Jesus can't deliver you from. And I'm telling you right now, he can do it. And if you feel abandoned here today, God loves you and he hasn't forgotten you. Do you think that Jesus would send himself down here? Yeah, he sent himself down here. He came down here. And he said in his word, he says that he didn't even count it robbery to count himself equivalent to God. Because he was. He was God in the flesh. And he came down in the form of a man. And he sent his beautiful Holy Spirit here on earth to help us, to work with us every day. you know, Dwayne saying earlier about, you know, we're talking about where there may be sin, much more does grace abound. And I tell you what, there are some pretty sick and perverted things in this earth today. They're very gross. What we accept as norm, what we accept, God destroyed cities over in the Old Testament. But I'm telling you this, that remember when God came to Abraham, this is a sign of grace. That he said, if you can just, he was negotiating with God. Can you negotiate with God? Well, Abraham felt that he could. So I'm not there yet. So he felt that he could. He said, if there's just but five righteous in the city, we would not destroy it. But how many think that in the same way, Jesus is our advocate? Father, if I go down, don't destroy them, God. Just give me a little more time. I can work with them. I can do a little pruning. I can massage the roots. I can put a little fertilizer. I can work with them. Don't throw them into the fire yet, Father. Let me go down. Let me sacrifice myself so that I can be the ransom for many, so that the thing that Adam allowed to enter the world, I can eradicate with the blood of Jesus, with my own blood. Amen. No matter what you've done, God is faithful to forgive you if you confess and put your faith in him. I don't care what you've done. It doesn't matter. You can be the most heinous person and think the most vile. Adolf Hitler, if he confessed Jesus, and it's not a pipe, because the atrocities, I mean, 6 million Jews and all the other atrocities and hateful things in Africa where they murder and rape and beat and abuse, all these heinous things that we think are the most vilest of the vilest. Those people will be justified if they call upon the name of the Lord more than you who sit in the church and do not obey his commandments and love God and confess him as Savior. That is not popular. There will be people in heaven, you're like, how in the world did they make it? Or will you be the person that God says, depart from me, I never knew you, because you were too busy judging everyone else and putting on a facade and judging those around you who needed you, and you never chose to confess your sins to me. Yes, I do believe that salvation is eternal. I do not believe in once saved, always saved. I believe that if you, God never abandons you, but it's a free will deal, you can walk out on him anytime, and people do it every day. And the word of God says it, Lord, Lord, I did all this in your name. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. I would rather have nothing, a trailer park, be in the trailer park of heaven, but to make it, than to have all the wealth of this world and spend eternity in hell. It's not about things. It's not about wealth. It's about doing the will of the Father. What did John the Baptist say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And if you're living in sin today, I just encourage you to confess it. What does confess mean? It's simply this. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I am sorry for what I did. I have broken your ordinances and your commandments, your laws. Forgive me, Lord, for abusing your mercy and grace. I ask you to forgive me. Wash me with your blood. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. God, baptize me with your Spirit. Help me become a man or woman of God so that I can take the grace and the love and the forgiveness that you've given to me so I can take it to the world and help those around me. Because you know what? There's people in your life that need you. There's people that I work with every day that they're intelligent, they're engineers, but you know what? When it comes to spirituality, they're broke. Their bank account's zero. That if they stood before the master of the universe right now, and that's what happens right now. If you die right now, you go straight to heaven or straight to hell. Some people, we always say, oh, you'd stand before God and you'd be judged. There are judgments, but right now, they will come. But if you died right now, there's two choices, up or down. It doesn't matter what politics say. Everybody sells this narrative now. Oh, you're good. You go to every funeral and everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's making it in. That's a lie from the pits of hell. The devil's got people snowed in America. No, not everybody's going to heaven. The Bible says that hell has enlarged its territories, and I believe because hell was never intended for God's creation. It was intended for the devil and the third of the angels that Satan took during the rebellion in heaven that God put down. You know, Michael, he sent him, took it out, boom, and they were cast down. So I'm telling you, you have a choice to live right and to follow after God or to live your way. Now, am I saying you're going to go to heaven or hell? This is what I'm saying. Don't risk eternity based on living in sin, because maybe God in his grace, in his mercy, remember the thief on the cross? He had no idea about religion. He had no idea about God or anything. All he said when he got to heaven is, how'd you get here? He said, I don't know. The man on the middle said I could come. Wasn't baptized, never gave an offering, didn't know anything about the word of God, but he recognized, right? This man is the real deal. Jesus, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. Come on now. Because the man in the middle said I could come. And if you think you go to heaven because of anything you did, you've missed the whole point of the cross. It's not because of what you did. People say, oh, because I confessed Jesus. No, it's because he came down and made a way for you and gave you an opportunity to accept him. Yes, you have to step out and do your part. It's because of him, of what he did for us. And are we abusing his mercy and grace? Let's turn to Psalm 107. The Lord says in his word that he rebukes those whom he loves. And if you feel I'm rebuking today, it's not my job to rebuke or correct. The word of God speaks for itself. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments, not Luke Hale. Because my words will fall flat, or don't take my word for it. Get in the text, read the word of God. How much time do you spend on Facebook a day, but you're not in the word, or you're focused about your agenda or the next buck or my 401k or the S&P 500? Are we in the word of God? Because this is what will sustain you. He said, my word is spirit and it is life. In Psalm 107, 6 and 7, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by a straight way. That sounds familiar with something else it says in the word. What did they say Jesus was? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes up to the Father except through me. So I'm telling you, they cried out in their anguish. Cry out to God. If you're having problems in your life, cry out to God. He doesn't care. I don't care if you're homosexual. I don't care if you're living in adultery. Cry out to God. Help me, God. Or maybe you smoke or you have these addictions. I'm not saying addictions are going to send you to hell. They just bind you up. Because anything that you put or you have to have, whether it be food or anything, before the word of God, before God, it's an addiction. It can be an idol. An unhealthy obsession can become an idol. Yes, we maybe not be bowing down to golden images, but if you're obsessed with things and not obsessed with God, you have a lordship problem in your life. He is the Lord. There is only one Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Anything else is a lie. And what has the word of God said? The devil is a liar, but Jesus is spirit and in truth. Come on now. We know this. Let's go to verse 14 in that same chapter. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. I'm telling you, if you are in darkness today, whether it be self-imposed darkness, sometimes we abandon everything. Depression, the walls are closing in on us. Like we have our own claustrophobic nature in the spiritual realm because we just allow everything to come in on us. And we abandon everything we've known. Maybe you've abandoned children. You've abandoned relationship. Maybe you've had an abortion in this place. Anything that you can think of is the hardest part of your life. You know what? It says that he broke them out of darkness and broke their bands. And I'm telling you what, the Spirit of the Lord will break every chain in your life. You just have to ask the Lord. Amen? So, in closing, and Pastor, I love you. I'm not doing five closings. Got it. I got the mic today, so Pastor's like, that guy. We love everyone. So, we've talked about all this. We've talked about obeying the Word of God and how that we contributed to the crucifixion of Jesus. We partaked of that because of what we do every day. Because of being born into sin, we were at the cross. We were the one saying, crucify. We spit on him and we mocked him. We pulled his beard. We slapped him. We turned our back when he stumbled carrying the cross up Golgotha. We do it every day when we abandon his word. But I don't want to leave you without hope today. But how do we break out of this? We just read it that if we call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. It says, call in the middle of your darkness and I will break the bands. Yeah. It's that when we realize in ourselves, we are forever slaves and prisoners, but through Christ, we can be set free. If you think you can set yourself free, I don't care who you are, how wealthy you are, your platform, I don't care your ethnicity, where you're from, what country, whatever. When we stand before the King of the universe, we can't say, well, this person forced me to do this, or I did this, or I did that, or I did this, whatever. No, it's going to be, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? And I'm telling you, in ourselves, we are nothing. The word of God says that apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. You know the thing about branches? They break off when pressure gets, you know, I've talked about this before. A lot of times you have friends and relationships in your life. You have people that are leaves. When the seasons change, they leave you. No pun intended, right? Or you're a branch, they're a good friend, but if pressure gets too tight or the season happens or stuff hits the fan, if you want to say, they break off and leave you. But you know who doesn't leave you? The root, the vine. And you will have limited relationship in your life where you have roots that are planted, that no matter what happens, that they will stay with you. And I can tell you one of them is Jesus Christ. He'll stay. Sometimes in his silence, he's not denying you your answered prayer. Sometimes it's protection, because if God gave you everything you asked for, we would be in a mess. Silence is an answered prayer, because sometimes silence causes us to trust when we can't trace him, but we just trust. And I'm telling you, when Jesus was abandoned on the cross, he trusted the plan, that he knew that he would raise up and he would deliver us. And he saw us as the fruit. He was the firstborn of many, the Bible says. And he died for you and he loves you. The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed, and his grace is more than sufficient. No matter what you're going through, maybe it be relationships in your family. I know by common knowledge stuff people's going through in here, whether it be health or family, marriages, relationships, weird things, financial crisis, whatever. I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient. Sometimes he just wants us to just back up and say, Lord, you got this. Because I can tell you my problems, but you know what? He already knows them. And it's okay to tell him your problems. He already knows them. But tell him what's going on. God, I don't like that person. I'm mad. I don't like that. I don't like the way my wife treats me. I don't like the way these kids act. I don't like my job. And it's okay. Talk to him, because you know what? He's the one person you can talk to that could actually get things done. So the other day, it had been raining for weeks, like during hunting season. I was just going on, man, it's raining, raining, raining. And I felt like, maybe if I'm wrong, I felt like God say, is there an ask in here somewhere? And I was like, because how many times do we complain about things and we don't simply ask God for help? We can tell everybody, God, will you help me at this? God, this kid's drive, this work relationship, this person works driving me nuts. Lord, will you help me? You give me grace. Will you give me empathy for them? Let me be able to be a light in a dark world, God. Come on now. So in order to break out, we need to confess and repent of our sins. Don't go back to the vomit. Yeah, that's right. The Bible says that if you go back to your sin, it's like a dog going back to its vomit. That's disgusting. And there's even more disgusting things. And if you're reading the Bible, it talks about that God talked, the prophets would tell in the Old Testament, your righteousness is like filthy minstrel's cloths. Like, you know, a woman's cycle thing like that. That's what he compared their righteousness to. But true righteousness is in Jesus Christ. That's what makes you clean. There's nothing you can do to make you clean. Only he can make you clean. When we get our eyes off ourselves, we realize it's not us making us clean, it's him. Samson kept going back. He kept going back. He liked, he got a taste, and he kept going back. Whatever your sin is, it could be lust, whatever. You name it. Everybody's got a sin or got an addiction or something going on. It could be a mentality, a thought process, an addiction, whatever. He kept going back. And like I said, it was so sad that he never knew the presence of God departed from him. And then he was taken in. We need to pray and fast. This church believes in praying and fasting. Our master did. He said, when you pray, when you fast. Jesus has set the expectation. The disciples didn't fast when Jesus was here. He says, hey, there will come a time I go away, and then you will fast, and then you will pray. So we need to be praying and fasting. We need to read, we need to study, we need to listen to, and know God's word. Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We need to know the word of God. How did Jesus defeat the devil? It is one of his weakest point prior to the Garden of Eden and the cross. I would say that was one of Jesus' toughest time was during that fast. It is written. And if we don't know the word of God, how can we defeat the enemy? It's not our authority. The devil is not obligated to obey anything you say, but he is obligated. He has no choice. He must obey the word of God because it is power and it's over him. The word of God, it's just a simple command thing. When you're in the military, Dwayne, Alex, you know, whether like your sergeant, captain, whatever, the high ups, they tell you to do something. You may think the guy is an idiot, but you're going to do it. The devil may think Jesus is an idiot or we're an idiot, but he has no choice. He must obey because God, it says in his word that he looks over his word to perform it, and it will not return void without accomplishing that which it was sent forth to do. We need to believe. We're talking about how to break out. We need to believe and operate in faith despite the circumstances. I don't care where you're at in your life. We need to operate in faith because Jesus constantly rebuked his disciples for not seeing miracles. I think he said, rebuked them for their lack of faith. He said, if you have faith as much as a mustard seed, you can say this mountain to be moved. Maybe the situation in your life hasn't changed because you're operating on your head knowledge and not on the faith of God's word, faith in God's word, believing that which he said he would do. The other thing, number five, surround yourself with people of faith. I'm telling you right now, you get around clowns, and I'm calling them clowns, they'll tell you, they will give you every bit of advice except the truth. They'll tell you, you need to do this, you need to do that. If you get enough voices going in your head, you'll be so confused and double-minded, you won't know what side's up, right? So how do you surround yourself with people of faith? Here's a simple one. Attend church. That's the easy one. The Bible says, don't forsake yourself, the assembling of the saints. Come to church. Yes, church isn't your savior, but you know what? It can help you. The Friday night, getting with men, being able to talk to people like us, and instead of telling dirty jokes and being perverse and going to do worldly things, going to bars and clubs and all these things, we're hanging out with guys, people of the same faith, so we can build ourselves up. We can make it, brother. You know, unbelief, sin, doubt are very contagious. You ever notice that? Oh, did you hear this? And then suddenly the whole room's like, oh yeah, you know, everybody's just pulled down. However, though, the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I'm going to break that down. What that means is, you ever heard someone give a testimony, like when Chris' sister here gave the testimony about seeing the Lord, how it caused faith to rise in the room? In the same way that doubt, unbelief are contagious, so is faith. So is hope. So is purity. I can wait till I'm married to be with a woman. And if I didn't, I'm faithful to know that God can cleanse me of any sins I made. I'm not judging anybody here. I don't have to be. I was in college and where they were passing dope around and doing things and the girls and all those things. But I made a stand and said, no, it would have been easy and acceptable. Oh, he's just a teenager. He's a kid. But I serve the master. And I remember the cross. I didn't have to do those things. If they want to make fun of me, say, oh, you're goody two-shoe, whatever, I don't answer them. I answer to the one. And when I stand before God, I guarantee you people are be like, Luke wasn't playing. You know what I mean? And if I am playing games, what about the people around me that I'm supposedly a Christian and I act no different than them? Am I wanting to break out or do I want to be in a self-imposed prison the rest of my life? The enemy thought that he was defeating Samson when he took his eyes. Right? But what did Samson have a problem with? Looking at Philistine women and lusting and going after them. So the very thing the enemy thought that he was going to destroy Samson with, God used for his good, because Samson no longer could look with his physical eyes and lust after the things of the flesh. He had to look through the eyes of his heart to point to God. Because what did they do? They shaved his head, gouged his eyes, and then Samson was on the mill. You always hear that story. Oh, I'm just grinding on the wheel. And what he was doing was just grinding wheat or, you know, food. And he would just, and I wondered the whole time that he was just confessing and repenting, God, forgive me. And God began to grow his hair out. Not that the hair was just a symbol of the power in his life. It wasn't the hair that gave him his strength, because Samson was probably a puny person. That's why they didn't know how to handle him, because it wasn't like he was Goliath. It was the Holy Spirit that made Samson strong. It wasn't his physical stature. Just clarification there, right? So he worked on that grinding mill and began to see with the eyes of his heart. So he began to confess. He would say, God, you know, I made mistakes. I failed. I've made mistakes. But he began to confess. And just like us sometimes, we will go around and around until we learn our lesson. God says today, you can keep doing the same thing you're doing. But how's that working out for you? Your children aren't where they need to be. You're not where you want to be, whether it be spiritually, physically, financially. How's that working out for you? But Samson remembered, and before he died, what did he do? They brought him. They wanted to make sport, so they brought him. There was a rooftop, 3,000 Philistine leaders. And what did he say? Yeah, he prayed. He said, Sovereign Lord. So what I take that is he was saying, God, I recognize you. Sovereign Lord, strengthen me one more time. And the little lad put his hands on the pillars. And of course, you know the story. God strengthened him, honored that prayer, brought the roof down, literally, and killed more in his death than he did his whole life. So he went out with a bang. But the thing is, Samson broke out. It took him a long time to figure that out. He had to go through a lot. He went through sin. He went through abandonment. He put himself in prison. But even when he felt everyone had forgotten him, when he was on that mill, just going round and round and round, God had a plan. And God has a plan for you today. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for our people today, God. God, I thank you that your word is spirit in his life, Lord. And God, I thank you that just as Samson, Lord, that he messed up and made mistakes, there's many of us who have made mistakes or we're making mistakes. Please forgive us, God, sovereign Lord. Have mercy on us. Wash us with your blood. God, I thank you that there's a sea of blood available to wash every sin in this place. Lord, I thank you for doing a work in our lives. Lord, Help us obey your commandments, God. We confess you before God and men. We're not ashamed of you. You said if we're ashamed of you before men, you will be ashamed of us before your Father. God, I bless our people today. I pray, Lord, that we hear your word, God, that we begin to operate and walk in your Spirit. God, that we break out of these self-imposed prisons, God, and we stop looking at ourselves and limiting you, God, and trusting you and believing, God, you will do all that you said you would do, and you look over your worm to perform it. I bless your people today, God. I pray they go out, God. If there's people in this place, God, that are not living right with you, God, I pray, God. We already did an altar call earlier, but if you're in this place and you're not living right with God or you don't know Jesus, all you have to do is call upon his name. The word of God says, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. What does that sound like? Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Wash me with your blood. I believe that you are the resurrection and the life, that you died and was buried and rose on the third day and are seated at the right hand of God. And you are my salvation. And you are the way, the only way to the Father. And ask him to help you. Get into the Gospels and read his word, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and begin a relationship. It is something that will be the best decision you've ever made in your life, God. God, I praise you today, God. I thank you for the people today, God. I speak healing to your people. I come against every demonic attack, anything seen or unseen, God. I believe that there is power in the name of Jesus and that your power is setting people free, God, and they're abandoning sin and they're embracing life in your grace, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.